Heavenly Father, as we open your word and look at your word today, I pray that you will prepare our hearts to receive it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So at this point in Jesus' life, he has just begun his earthly ministry. In Matthew chapter 4:17, he first starts by preaching repentance and about the kingdom of God, the coming kingdom of God. He has already started to teach and preach in the Jewish temples and has already displayed his heavenly authority by healing the sick and casting out demons. He has already called his first disciples to himself, and great crowds are already flocking to him as he's already made a name for himself. This now brings us up to Matthew chapter 5. Jesus seeing the crowds, it says in verse 1, he went up to the mountain and he sat down, and his disciples came to him. Immediately here, Matthew sets the scene for those who this lesson is for. It was for his disciples, for us as Christians, for those who had chosen to step out of the crowd and follow Jesus. This lesson was primarily for them. However, it does not mean that if you're tuning in this morning, you can now switch off your TV sets and go have a cup of tea or do something else. There is still a lesson in it for you as well. Because if you have not yet put your faith in Jesus, you are still part of the crowd, and he calls you to listen in. So listen in and stay tuned with us to find out what happens. So Jesus opens his mouth and taught them. This is what it says in verse 2. Now that they had chosen to commit and follow Jesus as the disciples, by repenting, turning back to God, and seeking his kingdom, Jesus teaches them. And he teaches them what life under the Heavenly Father looks like. He teaches them who they are now that they have chosen to live life under our Heavenly Father. He teaches them that they are to live life as the blessed children of God. Jesus begins this great sermon, Sermon on the Mount as it's known, with a series of 8 Beatitudes, portraying life as heaven, life as blessed children of heaven. Now the Beatitudes, or simply put, blessings of the kingdom, are statements which begin with the word blessed, followed by a statement of identity of the ones who are blessed. The Beatitudes show the beauty, the selflessness, the love and concern of the Christian way of life under the Father, which rewards in a spiritual experience and relationship with God the Father, rather than material things and things that we chase after in this world. And at the same time, it challenges the way of the world, which is self-centered and ultimately pointless. It shows the contrast between the kingdom of heaven, living under our Heavenly Father, and the kingdom of the world, living with ourselves in charge and under the devil's control. Furthermore, another thing we must understand before we begin to work our way through the Beatitudes is the understanding of the word blessed. For us in our worldly context, we throw this word around every day and we use it for things like, oh, that person's good looking, they're blessed with good looks, or that person's really talented, hashtag blessed. But in this context, it is not talking about material things or things we can gain which are good in this world. Nah, this is not the blessing Jesus speaks about. To be blessed is firstly God-given, and it is a gift independent of our circumstances. The blessings I mentioned earlier can well or will change depending on the circumstances. If something bad happens, they can be taken away. Consider our current pandemic now. Many people are without jobs and they have insufficient salaries to meet ends meet. This can easily then strip away the earthly possessions such as the nice house and the nice car and things that we find comfort in. So surely these things can't be the blessing that Jesus speaks about. For a Christian, to be blessed is a genuine state that can't be altered by the things around us, because it's a deep-rooted thing related to our spiritual condition. It is a source of joy that is rooted in God, and it's not rooted in what happens around us. It is something all Christians are to be like this. They're to be blessed. If we are in God's kingdom, we are marked out by this. This is a distinctive behavior that should belong to all of us. Throughout the Beatitudes are descriptions of distinctive behaviors, mindset, and a heart set that can only be produced by God's grace alone. His salvation by being given a new heart. In God's kingdom, true happiness is not found in worldly things. True blessedness is only found in the kingdom of God. It is not defined by what you have, not what you do, or what you've achieved. It's defined as who you are, children of heaven. So to understand this is the beginning of understanding what life as the blessed children of heaven is. The Beatitudes are not instructions in how to be Christians, but instead descriptions of what we are as Christians. It should be how we recognize each other as Christians, a believer, a citizen of the heavenly kingdom. So let's have a look at our first Beatitude. Verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, is Jesus saying here that life as a child of heaven is one that is poor? Is he speaking of financial poverty? Well, no. Jesus here isn't speaking of physical and material poverty, nor is he speaking of an emotional one. Being poor in spirit is someone who acknowledges their sin and helplessness before God. They understand that they are spiritually bankrupt, casting themselves entirely in God's mercy, living solely by his grace. Realizing we have nothing to commend ourselves, we have a massive debt in which we cannot pay. Life as heavenly children means being humble and recognizing this, that we have no resources, material nor spiritual, which can present ourselves before God. This first beatitude challenges the predominant worldview that assumes material blessings are a sign of God's approval in one's life and that they automatically flow from one's spiritual blessing. Instead, Jesus teaches that the norm of the kingdom of heaven is spiritual bankruptcy. Nobody can be a Christian without this state of heart first. There is nothing in us that can help us reach God and the kingdom of heaven. The key to living in the kingdom is repentance, turning back to God, realizing we need to be made new and we can't do it on our own. Only then will we call out to his unending grace and accept his invitation into his heavenly kingdom. Our second beatitude, verse 4. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Now we're starting to see a theme here, as Jesus starting each beatitude with what looks like a negative characteristic. But we now know to look deeper beyond this for the spiritual meaning. What does it mean to mourn and why? What are we mourning? Well, this mourning is not to be compared with the loss of possessions, the things in this life not going our way, or even, as sad as it is, the loss of a loved one. This is a spiritual mourning based on eternal consequences. As Christians, we humbly recognize that we are spiritually poor, bankrupt, and consequently, this should bring about spiritual mourning. Mourning because we recognize that our sin against God and the state of our relationship with him is broken and we can't fix it on our own. We recognize where we stand without Jesus, without his unending grace, and our dire need of God. And to those who recognize this, Jesus says, they will be comforted. God the Father does not leave his blessed children in a state of mourning. No, he comforts them. On arrival of the kingdom of heaven and in Jesus' ministry, life under the Father is brought and comfort is brought. The one Jesus who came to take away our sin and reconcile us to God. We are comforted in the future, knowing that though we still live on this earth with the hardships of life and pain, there is a future. There is a future hope for the coming kingdom of God. The promise of God's heavenly kingdom being established, where there shall be no more mourning, and he will wipe away every tear from our eyes. Yes, we mourn for sin, but we know our sins are forgiven in Jesus. We are reconciled to God. We know about the joy of the glory to come, and therefore we are blessed. Our third beatitude in verse 5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. The word meek here means to be gentle in your approach and demeanor. It means to be self-controlled. It is not used here to describe a person who is aggressive, harsh, nor bossy. It's quite the opposite. And Jesus himself describes himself as being gentle and lowly in heart in Matthew 11, verse 29. The meek are those who will inherit the earth not by aggressively asserting themselves. Instead, their true strength comes from their response in meekness to others and acknowledge them too as being spiritually bankrupt and in need of God's grace. It takes tremendous strength to bring others into God's will. But when that strength is coupled with our selfless non-assertiveness, it produces a gentle person who can patiently endure much to bring about God's purposes for his people. Such gentle people will inherit the earth, the new kingdom of God prepared for them, and be blessed. Verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. The hunger and thirst for righteousness expresses the desire and the dire need to see God's justice on earth. It is the desire to lose the grip sin has on our lives and the life and the world around us. Life as the blessed children of heaven means having these deep desires and longing for righteousness and justice. Jesus promises satisfaction for us as believers now in himself. We have already started to experience life under our Heavenly Father and the blessing that comes by responding to Jesus' invitation into the kingdom of heaven. Entering in a relationship with him as he fills our deepest desires and our personal hunger and thirst for righteousness. As Jesus takes our sin, we are made right before God and justice is served. It is only partial satisfaction, though, as we continue to live in a world shrouded with sin. So we continue to long for the new heaven and the new earth, the home of righteousness. That divine satisfaction will come in the final sense in God's future reign. Verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. As children of heaven, we are to be those who show mercy. In other words, we are to be people who show forgiveness towards those who have done wrong against us. We are to show compassion to those who are hurting and in need. Our mercy should not only be demonstrated under circumstances and certain criteria, our mercy instead should be demonstrated as a default of having taken up life under our Heavenly Father as children of heaven. In God's great mercy, he does not give us what we deserve. Rather, he gives us what we do not deserve in Jesus. Jesus commends those who demonstrate mercy towards the needy because the mercy that they show others will be shown unto them. Showing mercy towards others does not earn us entrance into the kingdom of God. Rather, it is a heart attitude that opens up ourselves to receive the offer of mercy that Jesus has proclaimed. Verse 8, the sixth beatitude. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Only the pure in heart can have residency in God's heavenly kingdom. Devotion to God can be religious and superficial, but sincere devotion to Christ cannot be. God searches us on a heart level, on an inner level, and knows exactly what goes on in there. So no matter what we try and do on the outside, whether we are kind people or serving, God really knows the motivations behind this. And God requires it to be done from our hearts. He wants an undivided loyalty from us to Him and His ways. Only then shall we see God. A promise which is immediately fulfilled to the disciples and to us in Jesus as the total embodiment of God. For those who have set their heart on God and not simply religious rituals and practices, those who have responded to Jesus' message of the gospel, they are invited to enter the kingdom of God, into a relationship with Him and the Father, and they will see God in Jesus. Beatitude 7, verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Peace is a recurrent theme that we see running throughout the entire Bible. The idea, though, of peace here is not simply as we think of it to be void of war and malice against each other. Instead, the idea of peace encompasses our wholeness and completeness in every area of our lives, in our relationships with each other, but more importantly, our relationship between us and our Heavenly Father. Jesus does not merely call His disciples to be peaceful, but to be peacemakers. Jesus Himself, the Prince of Peace, being the ultimate peacemaker in making peace between God and us. He calls us too to be peacemakers. To be a peacemaker, we are to be those who bring the good news of Jesus to the world around us, bringing ultimate harmony between us and God and between all peoples. By responding to Jesus' ministry, we are heirs of the kingdom, sons and daughters of God, who reflect the character of Heavenly Father. Brings us to our last beatitude, number 8, in verse 10. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. In the 8th and final beatitude, this is the second time we see the phrase, for theirs is the kingdom of God, of heaven. The first time we saw this was in the first beatitude. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It is important then to note that these two beatitudes are quintessential for life as blessed children of heaven. Firstly, so, in order for us to be Christians and children of heaven, there must be an acknowledgement of the spiritual bankruptcy in which we are in. And we must then seek God's grace in Jesus. And finally, life as Christians in the now, in the present, means being persecuted for righteousness' sake, for the sake of standing up for God and what is right in His ways and His way of living. Jesus Himself was persecuted and killed for living God's way. And the disciples, and as Christians, we are expected to follow this. Verse 11 goes on to describe the type of persecution we are to expect, and all kinds of evil and ill-mannered, ill-intended things against us as heirs of God. But blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, because our reward in heaven is great. Verse 12. You see, the reward greatly outweighs the persecution we will briefly endure in this life. Jesus was persecuted and killed, but rose again in glory and is now seated at the right hand of the Father. As Christians, we follow Jesus. So this means we will follow in His persecution, ultimately in His death, but so too will we follow in His resurrection, in His resurrection life as blessed children of heaven. You see, when we live life as God's blessed children, we enjoy the new kingdom in the present and the fullness of the kingdom in the future to come. If we choose to live life under our own rule, the rule of the world and the devil, there is imperfect justice, imperfect peace, and imperfect mercy. Where there is imperfect justice, wrongdoers get off free, and those who are right are wronged. Where there is imperfect mercy, justice is never rightfully served. And where there is imperfect peace, there is enmity between God and man, and between men. So life under our Heavenly Father promises perfect justice, perfect peace, and perfect mercy. Amen.